What is executive privilege and how might it hinder Congress's ability to investigate President Trump? Rubin Center Director John Grabe joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, John, to start off with, what are the documents that Congress is trying to get from the executive branch at this time?
Well, following the Michael Cohen testimony, I guess it was the week before last now, there were all sorts of avenues opened up for exploration by Congress in its oversight role to conduct investigations. So it was reported that 81 different document requests were sent out to 81 different persons having to do, generally speaking, with the question about whether or not there was some sort of connection between the Trump campaign and Russia, and also obstruction of justice, whether there have been actions taken since the 2016 to hinder the ability of Congress and law enforcement more generally to look into the Russia connection.
And because this is communication within the executive branch between staff, the president, this brings up the problem of executive privilege.
Executive privilege is a privilege that has been recognized by the Supreme Court. It was actually recognized by the Supreme Court in one of the most important cases that the Supreme Court ever handed down, United States versus Nixon. It was the case where the Supreme Court actually directed President Nixon to hand over audio tapes of conversations he had had with his aides to a prosecutor, and he did so, and 3 days later he resigned.
So, and this was revolving around Watergate.
Right, exactly, during the Watergate era. So, you know, ironically, that was the case which recognized this doctrine. So let me back up a little bit. Privileges in law protect relationships. So there's famously the attorney-client privilege. There's a spousal privilege recognized in many states. Some privileges are constitutional. The Fifth Amendment contains a privilege against self-incrimination. Privileges do not shield the discovery of information. Rather, they protect against the information being discovered from certain sources. Another provision of the Constitution actually creates explicitly a textual privilege for members of Congress. They are protected from having adverse legal action taken against them from speeches that they make while in Congress. Now, there is no textual executive privilege. There's nothing in Article 2 of the Constitution that says the president shall be privileged in his or her communication with advisors. However, a privilege was argued by President Nixon, most famously in the case that eventually became U.S. versus Nixon. And in the decision, the Supreme Court did recognize that there is an executive privilege, a privilege that protects the president so that the president can have confidential conversations with advisors. In the Nixon case, the Supreme Court said that this privilege can be inferred from our separation of powers. So for the president to function as our Constitution wants the president to function, this is something that needs to be part of it, even though it's not textually in the Constitution.
He can't just live in fear that every single email he sends or memo he sends within his office is now going to be grounds for impeachment.
That's exactly right. And so, but it's also long established that Congress has the power to investigate, and of course, the judiciary has the power to entertain court cases involving allegations of misconduct, criminal and civil, against executive branch officials. So, you know, there's a need to draw a balance. In U.S. versus Nixon, the Supreme Court said there is a privilege, but it's qualified, and it's a privilege that needs to give way in the circumstances of the Watergate tapes, because on the one side, we have a criminal investigation being conducted by a prosecutor, and where, you know, enforcement of our criminal laws is a very, very important interest. On the other hand, we don't have the president saying that these tapes are necessary, that keeping these tapes private is necessary to protect national interest or national security interests or anything like that. And so here we strike the balance in favor of saying the tapes have to get handed over. And oh, by the way, we, the court, get to decide this, because one of the things that President Nixon had argued is this isn't even something for the Supreme Court to decide. I, the president, get to decide the scope of my privilege. And the Supreme Court rejected that.
Equal branches.
Yeah. Say, well, again, it is emphatically the province and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. That comes from Marbury versus Madison in 1803. So they invoke that old principle of when it comes to what the Constitution means, the court is supreme. So So there is this doctrine of executive privilege. It isn't a doctrine that has been elaborated by the Supreme Court much. It went back to the Supreme Court a little bit over a decade ago in the context of a civil case where some groups were trying to discover who Vice President Dick Cheney had invited to serve on an energy task force. And he claimed an entitlement to executive privilege. The court didn't really rule on the scope of the privilege in that case. It sent the case back down. But it did make clear implicitly in that case, explicitly, the court did differentiate criminal cases from civil cases. So as this all plays out now, much will depend on whether or not information is being sought in connection with criminal case or in connection with merely civil matters. It's also up to the president to invoke the privilege because, you know, privileges can be waived. You know, criminal defendants have a privilege against self-incrimination, but if they take the stand and testify on their own behalf, well, then they're fair game. They can be cross-examined. It will be, you know, there are lots of possibilities for the privilege to be asserted by President Trump, and early indications are that he's going to take a very, very strong and robust view of the privilege and not be bending over backwards to cooperate with Congress as it conducts this investigation, nor cooperating necessarily with the special counsel as he conducts his investigation.
What's unique about him, which kind of harkens back to Nixon a little more, is he's being actively investigated aggressively, where many of the people that were involved with his campaign in the early days of his administration are facing criminal charges. Manafort is expected to be in for 8 years now, I believe it is, as of this morning.
Yeah, as of yesterday. And also yesterday it was announced, the state of New York is also bringing a host of charges against Paul Manafort. And that could be significant because if he were to receive a pardon from the president on the federal charges, that pardon does not extend to state prosecutions.
Do you have any idea what sort of documents are being requested by Congress? Is there any way for us to know that?
I know that the letters that went out are a matter of public record, or I think at least most of them are. I haven't looked at them myself,
it's a wide range. 81 of them, John. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. There are quite a few, and many of them are seeking information that. The expectation is that the recipients of these letters are going to respond and hand over. I mean, they're seeking all sorts of information that goes beyond communications between the president and his advisors, too. So, you know, the scope of executive privilege only pertains to conversations between and among the president and a group of advisors. For example, one interesting issue that came up was President Trump had a meeting with Vladimir Putin and ordered the note taker to destroy evidence of that afterwards. And it has been suggested that perhaps executive privilege allows him to do that. But, you know, we don't have any example of the doctrine of executive privilege extending to conversations with the Vladimir Putins of the world. So that would be an extension of the doctrine. Nonetheless, there has been, again, that suggestion that, you know, there may be some expansive assertions of privilege as Congress proceeds and as Mueller proceeds. You also have to differentiate between Congress performing its oversight function and conducting investigations. And the only road that could lead to is impeachment, because Congress can't bring criminal prosecutions. And then we separately have this special prosecutor who is actually under the authority of the executive branch. And that prosecutor, you know, at the end of the day, can make recommendations to Congress, but that Mueller isn't in charge of impeachment, but he can bring indictments, criminal indictments, and has brought criminal indictments against members of the president's inner circle.
Now, what court would this go to with Congress requesting this? I mean, would it go to the D.C. District Court, or would it have to go right to the Supreme Court?
No, it would start in the lower courts, almost certainly. Yeah, and given if it's a fight over a request by Congress, it would make sense that it would be in the lower D.C. District Court.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.